streets and the quiet cut.
Working together
like spokes inside a wheel,
they keep this country turning around.
Hello, Kansas,
wheat mill farmer, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line.
Hello, West Virginia coal miner, let me thank you for your time.
You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line.
This is for the one who drives the big rig
up and down the road,
for the one out in the warehouse
bringing in the load,
for the waitress, the mechanic, the policeman on patrol, for everyone who works behind the scenes with a spirit you can't replace with no machine. Hello, America. Let me thank you for your time.
Wisconsin, and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nacoosa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, warm and muggy tonight with showers and storms possible late and lows in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend, scattered showers and thunderstorms, staying humid with high temperatures in the low to mid 80s. Currently, it's 87.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Have your host, James. I'm joined by PD here at 105.5 WIRI. Seth.
Hello, everyone.
We're here to have some fun. Take your calls. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We want to hear from you. We wanted you to call in with your sports takes and feelings. How are you feeling about the baseball season ahead, Brewer fans out there? Any fan you're a team of. Yeah, any fan. Unless you're, of course, like me and a White Sox fan. Your opinion probably doesn't really matter.
You're just hoping that the Rockies continue to be bad. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
If you're looking at what's the biggest headline per team, if we went through all teams, I could tell you, speaking for, I will try. I hate to do this, but I actually will speak for all White Sox fans right now, and that is the biggest thing we are locked in on, is how some of these young players do, and are the Rockies worse than we were last year?
Exactly.
That is it. And everybody's got better headlines than that. We'll be getting into some of those things. Got some news and notes. Want to talk about the Rafter season. This is the last show we'll be doing with Rafter baseball being played.
Yep.
So I kind of want to wrap up the season, do a little bit of that, to get into some of those things. Also, got a couple of interesting topics to get into. Stockwatch. Post-trade deadline guide of all 30 teams. We will discuss every single one. No.
That would take too long, but yes.
We'll take a look at that. We'll glance at it and everything. But one I did actually find kind of interesting, Seth, was this the idea of the injured guys coming back and how they can help teams.
Mm.
And that's actually got a local tie to it that we'll be getting to as well.
Okay.
But I did want to start here, and I don't like starting in necessarily sad places, but I feel like where we do this show, it's important. Packers star Billy Houghton, the first NFL PA president, passed away at 95 this morning.
Oh, wow.
Was announced right as we were getting off the air, actually, doing our morning shows and everything. Certainly a long time Packer. You cannot talk about the history of the Green Bay Packers without him, and should be noted. I encourage people to maybe look up, read up on him and some other things.
Well, and that's to be the first president of the Players Association. Association. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
At the very founding of it. That's really cool.
And before we dive too deeply into baseball talk, we kind of have to talk about the ballpark. The Milwaukee Brewers are bringing manager Pat Murphy's strange eating habits to the fans. This is coming to us from the Associated Press.
Oh, I love it.
Murphy went viral in a recent interview for pulling a pancake out of his uniform pocket and taking a bite, sharing the flapjack with the reporter as he detailed different ways he shoves food into his pockets to snack on in the dugout. Pat has done this for quite some time.
All right. Okay.
The moment just went viral, went all over the place, right, especially in Milwaukee, of course. The ballpark announced Friday that Murph's pocket pancakes will be sold at American Family Field during Sunday games for the rest of the season.
Oh, my gosh.
Starting with this weekend series against the Mets. The Brewers, who haven't lost since Murphy whipped the pancake out of his pocket,
built
this best record in Major League Baseball. And yes, baseball fans, one of those things that we all love has happened. A superstition has been born.
Right in front of our face.
Boom,
I love
right in front
it.
Of
right
us.
There.
Oh, I hope other people are seeing this. I hope people like don't get lost in the headlines. Cool new snack at the ballpark.
That's cool. Yeah, that's
moment.
Fun, right? Yeah.
Oh, but when we get to, we don't get to see this very often.
No, we don't. Not anymore. I'm sure baseball players and coaches are still doing superstitious things. They just,
oh, yeah.
It's not as they don't put it out there as much as they used to because they kind of know what happens with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Pat Murphy, though, I love the idea. And you can, and he can deny it all he wants by saying, you know, well, no, I always do this different kinds of things. I do the thing. But the fact that it's still a pancake for a certain, it's definitely a superstition.
Yep.
It's going to be a pancake till they lose. I can tell you that much.
It's he is certainly, I mean, I'm not going to mansplain the Brewers to everybody out there. I mean, he's one of the smartest managers in baseball. But I don't know that we give him enough credit for his mic talk and the way he manages these players. I don't mean on the diamond. I mean off the diamond and the personality.
Yep.
And when things aren't going right, take your shots at me. Your shots at Pat. I'm the manager. I'm the big man in the house.
Right.
Okay? You come at me. He will go into, like, he will actually not only stand up for players, but be accountable about the player and his own actions in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the same time, he has got more charisma than I think he realizes.
He does.
He's got that, like, it's not the same thing, but it's a little similar to when Peyton Manning first started out. It's not Peyton Manning's polished by now.
Yeah,
he's not the same as he was on SNL in those early commercials where he was almost awkward charming.
Right.
Pat Murphy is a little bit more of that kind of like, well, that could be our uncle or our grandpa that we've all sat around talking baseball with in many ways. And it doesn't matter what race, creed, age you are. None of that matters.
No.
Pat fits the bill.
he does.
And a lot of this is just natural. It's just organic of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other parts of it that are incredibly well thought out.
And smart, yes.
And very smart. And he'll never take credit for it. He'll never try to bring an eyeball to it or anything. But if you're paying attention, you're like, ooh, dang, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I wish he was my manager kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Just good manager.
Well, and because the manager is the focal point, you know, especially post-game stuff, they're the ones that always talk. You never hear the coaches. So Pat's been a coach for a very long time. Now he's finally getting a chance to manage, and we're finally getting to see this side of his personality that we didn't when he was a coach because coaches don't get interviewed that much.
And I do want to just real quick, and I'm just putting half my foot on the soapbox, but to everybody, all of these marketing specialists and these people that are telling players and coaches and all the major sports, shut up, don't say anything interesting, you don't want to get tagged, you don't want to get in trouble or anything like that. Imagine if Pat Murphy had grown up like that and in that industry and everything was like that with him. I'm not talking about little moments like this that we all love as fans and everything. His players don't have that.
Right.
They don't have that guy to take the arrows. They don't have that guy to be out there to answer the questions and all that, because he's out there, when he is out there, he's just giving you vanilla. Would you like some more vanilla ice cream? I got some more vanilla ice cream, and my players in the locker room got vanilla ice cream too, and everybody's just vanilla, and there's nothing interesting about it, and people stop paying attention or caring.
Mm-hmm.
Do we love our teams? Yes. Do we care about wins and losses? Absolutely. But these players, these managers, these people, don't ever forget that's what brings us to these games. You can tell me the loyalty to your team all you want. You're not watching if it's a bunch of robots robots for the Packers.
No.
You're not watching if it's a bunch of, if it's a cartoon or if it's a movie or something like that. You don't get into it the same. Mm-hmm. You care about these players. You care about these coaches. And the only way, the reason you do is because you feel like you get to know them. Mm-hmm. When we take that away, it takes away not only the personality and charm of sports, it might be one of the nails in the coffin of sports. Mm-hmm. What comes up must come down. It is just the theory of life. You cannot convince me that in 10, 20 years, football is still going to be where it is.
Yeah, right.
Nothing is.
No.
Nothing stays the same. Nothing is like that. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things I think that is going to kill it, that is going to hurt it, along with, of course, the deal that Michael and I and you have talked about with the ESPN and all that stuff.
Yeah.
With this this deal, which is a good deal, this deal at the ballpark at American Family Field, the Brewers are looking forward to kind of running with this and everything. He went on to continue eating his pancake at the postgame news conference while detailing other food items he has brought into the dugout. Waffles, pancakes, pizza. Like, you could hear him saying
yes.
It. Like, Murphy then was asked how he can put a slice of pizza in his pocket without it staining the uniform. Right. If it's cold pizza, you fold it up like a sandwich. You know what I mean. Like, we've all done this. I'm sorry, Pat. That's what I haven't done. But I
have folded a piece of cold pizza. I've never put it in a pocket. I have to say that. Yeah.
Well, like the New York slices, certainly. And, like, or something like that. Yeah. The Brewers will be selling a ball four pocket pack that features four pocket pancakes and a choice of maple syrup or strawberry dipping sauce for $5. Yeah, that's a good deal. Or pancakes. Now here's where they get me. The double chicken and pancake pocket. That's not bad either. Chicken and waffles is one of the greatest combinations of all time. You will never get me off of that one. I will die on that hill.
My oldest just had that for the first time. He was insanely happy.
I was an older man when I finally got the chance to try it. neither food item has ever been the same since. I don't know what it is. And you know me. I'm not a food combiner.
That's right.
That's the one for me. I love it.
Chicken
it's
and waffles.
That's going to be fun. If anybody gets to the ballpark and tries that, the only rule is you have to call and let us know. Yeah.
Oh man, that's exciting.
I really would like to see what that how that looks and how that turns out, because I want to try.
I hope it starts the whole thing of pocket food at the ballpark. That'd be funny.
I haven't had a lot of these foods that actually seem interesting to me. I just like covering them and talking about them. That's the first one that I were like, ooh, I really want to try that. Did want to get a little bit into the stock watch and some of those things with you, Seth, before we get into some of these injured players that will be coming back and could be possible game changers for some of these teams in the playoff. The MLB trade deadline is done. Mm-hmm. And looking at this and a bunch of the experts saying, you know, who came out on top? How did this look for certain teams? We, of course, start in Milwaukee, but not just us. That's where ESPN puts the rankings.
Wow.
ESPN had Milwaukee in the number one power ranking spot going into the trade deadline. And they remain there after the trade deadline.
Right.
In fact, real quickly, an interesting note about this, nobody really moved that far up or down. Nobody really had a big shift.
That's
even with some teams that made a lot of moves.
Or made more moves, or seemingly bigger moves. Now, we don't know. Obviously, those are going to work out. And when the way they started, the Brewers have started post-trade deadline. They've been, absolutely on fire. So, yeah. there's no question that they're the big top team in baseball right now.
Thank you for setting me up. They have a win average over the last month of, or a win average over the season of 95.9. In the last month, 87.9. It's insane. It's insane.
That's
what they have pulled off.
Yes.
They got a 99.2% chance to make the playoffs.
Yep.
And 11.3% chance to win the championship.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
The highest of anybody I'm seeing. Oh, no. The second highest I'm seeing of anybody here. The Dodgers, of course, at number one.
Because they're the Dodgers.
Yeah. But the lingering issues, and that's one of the parts of this article, and as far as they're concerned and what they're looking at. And they're still looking at the same thing I think a lot of Brewers fans are. The middle of the order power and how that's going to turn out. And if you want to take a look, deep dive into this article and all that, you can go to ESPN.com. So to me, I will say one thing about that. Guys get hot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying that because I literally just got really hot all of a sudden in the studio. That's weird. It's something that I think not only has led to this run, mm-hmm. but it's something that this Brewers team has been kind of doing for a while now, not just mm-hmm. this year. But hey, who's stepping up tonight? Mm-hmm. Hey, Sal, you want to do it tonight? Joey, you want to do it tonight? Right. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be as concerned about that as much as I would be about some of these other things for teams like pitching or hey, we have no bullpen. How does somebody help? You know,
man, I have to say the biggest move for the Brewers happened before the trade deadline when they got Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah,
my goodness, has that turned out to be a nice little trade for them?
I'm
happy for him.
Yeah,
and the Brewers have got to be ecstatic about how good he's been.
I know I've seen some people say, you know, he didn't work out, he didn't play well with the Sox or anything. I don't know what they're talking about. He was one of our better, more consistent players, and he was one of the few leaders in that clubhouse. When Johan went out, Johan Moncada, which by the way, where did he go?
I don't know.
That's not right, man. He was awesome. He was a great third baseman.
Disappeared.
When he left, he was pretty much the closest we had to leadership in that locker room, especially with the skeleton of Tony La Russa running around making everything a problem.
Right.
La Russa would have gained more respect for me had he turned that job down mm-hmm. than what he did.
Yeah.
And making it one of the biggest, most egotistical moves I've ever seen a human being do in sports
right.
is what La Russa did there.
So few times, by the way. A little
but
side.
I'm not biased.
You're
or
not biased at all. No.
Or at all.
I've never seen it really work. Coming back
yeah.
after they have a good run of success. I'm thinking the big ones. Earl Weaver did it. He retired in 1980 after the 82 season. He came back in 85, 86, and it was a disaster. La Russa obviously was a disaster with that. You think of Joe Gibbs in Washington? Yep. Again, did not work out at all. No.
That's an interesting note, too, that it's all sports.
Yeah, it's not just baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Cubs, who have been sliding as of late and everything, they're looking still at pitching. That is a big problem. Mm-hmm. And the Dodgers are looking for pitching help. Detroit, interestingly, just consistency. I think that's the biggest problem for Detroit
yes.
right now.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the big surprise. They did like nothing at the trade deadline. I guess they felt that they were set, but they have not been playing well lately. So
I will say, I wonder if what happened with Detroit, if they were like the bride, the runner up, the bridesmaid, you mm-hmm. know, with each one of these big trades or some of these trades. Mm-hmm. I got to think that they had to have. Why they've gotten in this position, the players mm-hmm. are great. I got a really nice starting pitcher and all those things.
Yep.
They were smart with ownership and management.
Mm-hmm.
They were smart with ownership. Was like, we're getting out of the way. We're just going to hire new people. They got really, really lucky with AJ Hitch.
Great manager,
And him just being a free agent for the obvious reasons of that.
Because he was banned for baseball for a couple of years.
And I think you can make an argument that, I don't know that, you know, I don't know how you get away with that, like, because he did.
Yeah,
like, you know,
did.
Like, he's fine. He's doing okay.
Yeah, he got rid, you know, he was out for a couple of years, but you're right. He's back and he's at it again. So.
And I will say this. I am a big believer in you do your time and we move on.
Right.
As a society.
I agree, too.
And so as it is, they're doing really smart moves.
Mm-hmm.
They're too smart to have stand pat just for nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that any sports franchise, while thinking about next year, sure, the phrase, oh, they're all in. Everybody's all in. If they're not, they're a bad run organization.
Right.
And by that, I don't mean every single all 32 teams. I mean anybody in contention.
Yep.
And we saw it at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Their teams, what are they doing? They're five games back because that's the game.
Yep.
The same energy that you have a leadoff hitter using mm-hmm. is hopefully the same energy your GM has.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get something done. I got to do something. Trade deadline's right here. I got to move. Got to do something. I got to get on base. I got to do something. And, you know,
how do you make the team better, right?
Yeah, I got to think Detroit, you know, had to have been trying to do something or whatever, and maybe mm-hmm. they just didn't have enough. And I have a hard time believing, well, this is just a run-up year. We're really focused on next year. Like, I don't know anybody could do that.
No, for Detroit especially. I mean, it came a little quicker than maybe they were expecting, but they were in the playoffs last year. I mean, you got to build on that, man. You got to get run. And the first part of the season, they were doing just that. Not sure what's happening now. The Twins are pretty much out of it too at this point. So I'm like, I'm not going to say, oh, the Tigers need to lose. No, I hope they can do it because I think the Tigers being good is good for like Detroit.
Yeah,
that is a good thing. I would say, you know, and hopefully they can, you know, pull it together here. I think With Hinch as your manager, you got a better chance because he's really smart and he knows what he's doing.
Philly is also looking to keep healthy and consistent as well. That's another team that you got to look out for.
Always.
And down the line, you know, Toronto, some of these other teams. It's going to be interesting. I will say it's what we've seen in recent years with the added on games of the wild in the playoffs and the wild card and all that. It's almost hard to imagine any front runner being there at the end holding up the trophy. It's hard for me to imagine that. Yep. It's not to say that on paper, obviously, the Dodgers, San Diego, these are world beaters. These are amazing teams. They're Galacticas. They're incredible. But with what we've been seeing, the evidence we have over the last couple of seasons, it's wild card team gets hot at the right time, and all of a sudden they're surprising everybody, and all of a sudden Arizona's in the World Series. You know, and they just run over the teams that we all, for 162 games, but, well, that's the best team in baseball. Nope, turns out they're not.
Nope, they're not.
And it's not. And, you know, another strange thing about it, too, it isn't as if, well, so-and-so got hurt, and that's why they're bad. Like, it's not necessarily some major catastrophic injury. It's just the teams run out of steam. They're playing so many more games.
Yeah, many more innings,
Well, and it's such a matter of just, can I hang in there?
Yeah. Well, and to be sure, I mean, it's – and honestly, I got to feel that, you know – they always say, you know, you got to treat the playoffs just like any other game. You know, you get into the playoffs, you got to just treat it like any other game. And I've heard ex-players say, yeah, no, you can't. You cannot treat it as another. It's different.
Yeah.
It feels different. You need to be more up for it than you normally would because this is the end. You know, it's fine during the season. It's a long season. You don't want to be up for every game. You can't do that. You'll wear yourself out even more. You gotta bring it more. And I think that 100%. In the end, who has that last reserve?
Yeah.
That those are the guys I think that are the ones that make it.
It's the adage in what we hear oftentimes about the team trying to get that third championship and how hard that is. Whew. And especially if you're going up a team that's never won it before, never been there before, and this is their one chance or something.
Yeah.
It's such a duel.
They have so much less, in a sense, to play for than your one you're trying to repeat or something like that. Absolutely.
I am all for going all in. I am also all for subject scheduled to change. If my, I don't know, my star young shooting guard gets a little bit banged up and he has an injury that 99% of the time is going to lead to a season-ending injury, I keep him out of the game seven, even though it's the one time my Indiana Pacers might have a chance to win a stand. I'm sorry. Why Halliburton was out there, I'm not letting that go. I'm not letting that go. I like that kid. He should have been out there.
Yeah, right.
A guy coming back on the other side of things, Shelby Miller, is ready to help Milwaukee in the playoff push. He is coming off the DL. With injured pitcher Jordan Montgomery, were acquired from the Diamondbacks. Jordan Montgomery still nursing, although I believe he's had a rehab start so far.
Wild cards. I mean, we really have no idea what they're going to bring to the thing, but they could be. They're not going to be CC Sabathia in 2008, but they could be something like that.
Yes,
where they suddenly bring a whole bunch of good starts. Mm. Think of that. You have two seasoned starters. You know, these are veterans. These guys have been around. Okay, who can give you more innings this time of the year? Mm-hmm. You can rest your bullpen a little bit more. That is huge. Yeah. I mean, oh my gosh, that is massive.
I don't need you to be the warrior god Scherzer. Nope. Can you give me six innings? You give me and get to my bullpen, especially from walk. You got one of the more knockout bullpens in baseball. Miller, 34, 3-3, 198 ERA, and 10 saves in 37 appearances this season. For those that haven't seen him kind of go, he's been pitching as a relief pitcher at times.
Yeah, he's kind of a swing man now. He does both,
That's really got to be difficult.
It is. Some guys can do it, though. They can pull it off.
And it leads me into this article, the one that I really wanted to get into with you today, Seth.
Okay.
Injured stars who could boost contenders down the stretch. Now, Shelby Miller, this just happened today, so I don't believe he was in the article, but I came across this the other day. I thought it was a good one. I love the CC Sabathia thing you bring up there. and that's one of the funner things about the playoffs, I think. I guarantee that if I told you, brought up the year, date, and player, most baseball fans are going to remember, oh, so-and-so, yeah, that's right, he did this.
Right.
We kind of lump it all into CeCe. We kind of, and that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, it was a great moment. It was a moment every baseball fan could pretty much enjoy, except for maybe Mets fans.
Yeah, right.
But they don't have a lot to enjoy.
They're still bitter about it. Wait, the Mets have So much to be bitter about. It doesn't matter. That's just one out of many, many things.
That cannot even crack the top 100 for Mets fans. Yadier Alvarez. Yadier Alvarez. Yeah. Okay. Did I say that right? I don't know why I didn't seem to say that. Okay. I feel like I said that right.
Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan. I knew it didn't sound right. Yordan. I got to say it very, make him Italian. Yordan. for the Astros, that's a big one. A big bat that could be coming back that could really help
them. He's had a really weirdly down year. It could be because he was injured the first part and he just couldn't swim. Maybe coming back, if he's all the way healthy, he could have a big impact for them. Absolutely.
The Cubs looking to get Javier Assad and James Taillon back.
James Taillon, yes.
Now, he is, Jameson Taillon, he's had a nice season.
Yes. In fact, his last couple of seasons have been pretty good.
Yeah.
The Cubs got a pretty good deal on him. They took a flyer on him a couple years ago, and looked like he wasn't going to be doing much, and he's done all right. So, yeah, that might be a big boost as well.
Michael Sorka has been a nice addition for them, too. Yeah. We'll see where that goes. Interesting career for him.
Yeah, although he came up lame the other day, so it's his shoulder, which is like, no. Yeah.
That's
it's always
that,
a...
Man, that is such a Northsider thing, too. Yeah. It is such a Cub thing.
Yeah.
Interesting one here, I think, and I thought it was an interesting move for a team that really could afford to do it in many ways. Shane Bieber and the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting one. Now,
now there's two Biebers in Canada.
That's right. Yeah. That's nicely done. How has nobody done that headline?
Seriously.
That's really good. He's still coming, healing from the Tommy John, but I'll tell you, he's ready to go. As far as what I've been following him and everything, and he's ready to go.
I mean, it's one of those things you're kind of banking on his past performance. But we know he's a good pitcher, not just because of his velocity. He's just a smart pitcher. Hopefully, they could be something big. We never know.
Alex Baum and Aaron Nola for the Phillies. I really, really like Aaron Nola. I like him as a player a lot. I think that having him coming back is similar to Woodruff for the Brewers in many ways.
Yeah, 100%. He could be a game changer.
And by the way, Philly already has the greatest starting pitching in baseball. Nobody's talking about
him.
But it's the most consistent.
Wheeler, Christian, I can't even remember the guy that he's on my team, fantasy team. I can't remember his name.
Sanchez or Soros?
It's Sanchez. Christian Sanchez. Yeah.
And so you add Nola back to that and everything, and a bat like Baum, and that's pretty nice. A team, if it wasn't for the Brewers, I think the team that we'd be talking about that really, like night and day, Jekyll and Hyde from the first month to the next, and the rest of the season has been the Texas Rangers.
Mm.
I thought that, other than DeGrom, that team's not doing anything.
It didn't look
this year.
It was doing much.
After the first couple of weeks, I'm actually looking at them like, who are they going to sell off? Who are they going to trade off and everything? But they got Jake Berger and Evan Carter coming back, and Jake Berger is such a throwback player.
Yes.
I will forever root for guys like him, and I hope he does well.
And his last name is Berger. I mean seriously.
Come on.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
We also should mention, along with Shelby Miller coming back for the Brewers, Robert Gasser. Gasser, 26-year-old left-hander, excelled in his first five major league starts of the year in later stages of his recovery from Tommy John surgery. He is on his fourth rehab start right now, or this Sunday will be his fourth rehab start.
That means so he's almost back. He is almost ready to go.
And the Miz has been telling anybody to listen when they're asking him. He's going to be on this 15-day DL, and that's it. He'll be ready to go right after it.
That's a little bit better sigh of relief for the Brewers fans there. Yeah.
A little more concerned with Jackson Chourio and a hammy that is just a lingerer of all injuries. You almost rather it be something that is quick and he'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you break a finger or something, because then it heals. Oh, hamstring injuries can be they can be a bugaboo, man. You never know how long this can last.
It bothers me as much as it's not the same thing at all. But when that happens to a player, no matter what the sport, I look at it almost like an ACL injury. We got 30% of that guy the rest of the season. Those injuries, unless you've dealt with it, you really don't understand how much it affects you.
Right.
It's like having a bad back.
It affects your whole body. Yeah. It really does. You can't do really anything. The thing with the hamstring injuries is that so many times players come back too early.
Yep.
And then they make it worse. They re-injure it or just kind of make it worse. And that just makes their mean they're going to be out that much longer.
And going along with the trouble with the injury, it can trick you in thinking, well, I'm moving just fine.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I'm sure I can run and stop on a dime. Oh, no, I can't.
Nope. There goes twang. Yeah.
Hunter Green for the Reds, another team that I don't think any of us are talking about, but probably going to be one of those teams that are going to make a run in the playoffs because that's what happens in baseball now.
Okay, so the one exception of what I said earlier about, you know, coaches coming back, well, maybe Tito can do it.
Yeah.
Terry Francona,
yeah.
I mean, he's done a pretty good job already considering the way the Reds have been, you know, the last several years. I mean, I guess you can't count that man out. He's a Hall of Fame manager when he finally retires for the last time, I should say.
Yeah. Top 10 guys in baseball I would love to interview. Terry Francona.
Great.
I would love to interview him. That'd be amazing.
He's so much fun, too. He's a great quote.
Padres got Michael King coming back. A nice piece for them.
Oh, excellent pitcher. Yep.
Padres are a team that I can't take serious until they win.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the World Series. I mean just, you know, winning in the playoffs in a major playoff series. It feels like they always come up short. And I kind of want to root for them. I kind of want to see what they do.
Yep.
But it's hard to get excited when I feel like their season's going to be over a week after the playoffs start.
Right.
I'd like to be wrong, and I'd like to see what happens. But for right now,
a lot of fun players on that team that you want to see. I mean, yeah.
And, of course, the Dodgers got Michael Kopech, Tanner Scott, and Kirby Yates coming back, along with possibly
like
a healthier,
their bullpen. Jeez.
Yeah, and possibly a healthier Ohtani, or at least an Ohtani that you feel more comfortable giving him more than, you know, 30 pitches or something like that. Now, if the strategy is, you know, as we go deeper in the playoffs, hey, there's our game one starter,
mm-hmm.
and I'm giving him six innings or something. More power to you.
Yep.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yep.
If this is the strategy to the rest of the season, I don't understand why you're even putting
him
out there. Wouldn't put him out there.
No, I would just have him hit. Yep.
Three innings is not worth him blowing out his elbow again or something like that.
Yeah.
But if this is a strategy, I'll eat my words and I'll be like, oh, dang, that was smart.
I'm not sure how the Ohtani rule works with relief pitchers, but man, can you imagine? Ohtani coming in at the back end of a game in a bullpen throwing 100 miles an hour, man.
I've been saying
that's a relief
this
pitcher. Woo.
I have been saying this since he got hurt the first time. Like, hey, you proved yourself as a starter in Major League Baseball in America.
Yep.
You did that. You are walking into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, you will.
Half your foot is already in. Like, Shohei Ohtani could go 0-1,000 and still get into
still
the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind of that. You've already proven it. How cool would it be to see, okay, I showed you that I could be a starter and I can be a reliever?
But, I mean, it's not as easy as you think it is.
No.
That's why Dennis Eckersley was such a, you know, it was such a weird story, that fascinating that he became such a good reliever after being a good starter for most of his career.
If you want to, how do you make your legend even bigger? Like, that's how you do it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the Seattle Mariners. A lot of, I think, teams, people out there is dark horse and maybe even a little bit.
Man.
If you don't have a team in the race, maybe a team that you're kind of like looking at and pulling for a little
I'm
bit.
I'm always pulling for the Mariners, man.
Yeah,
one of these days they got to get to the World Series. Come on.
I love that they were all in. I love that they made the Suarez move in part because bringing him back.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was going to go to a team, I think it's kind of cool that he went back to a team.
Seattle, yeah.
Where
he had a lot of success, yeah.
And I know he has not been on that team for 20 some years, but the fact that Griffey played there, and I cared so much. I knew that whole entire team, Bruner and some of
them. Fantastic team. Edgar Martinez, the Martinez brothers. Well, Tino before he went to New York, but Tino was on that team, and Edgar was on that team. Joey Cora, one of your guys, was on that team. Man,
that's another reason why I liked him.
Oh man, Dan Wilson was there. Yeah, he was a pretty good catcher, I thought. Dan Wilson,
Oh yeah, good one.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of good catchers in Seattle, Cal Raleigh is still doing his thing over there. So,
fantastic, love it.
They're only getting healthier with Brian Wu, George Kirby, and some of these other, I should have taken that. I shouldn't have been so blasé about that. I'm listening to the mouse too much. Philly has a great set of, maybe starting pitching in their first starting three. I don't know if anybody's got a more dominant, starters in period than Seattle.
Yeah.
Where they got so many arms.
So many good starters, yes.
They really
Wu
can.
And, I mean, Gilbert and jeez.
Just looking at it in front of me, I did not realize that. And I'm, I didn't even, they're just adding Bryce Miller and some of these pieces to it.
Another, I mean, who's shown flashes of brilliance. I usually don't care about the MVP. I want Cal Raleigh so badly to win the MVP this year because catchers never win it.
Yeah, I don't want to skew things or anything like that. But if I ever had power to do something like that, it'd be like encouraging people to vote for Cal Raleigh.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Otani and Judd, they got enough.
They've had their day.
They got plenty. Give it to the kid. Give it to the big dumper. We'll come back and we'll bring you a bunch of great stuff. We've got a bunch of other topics to get into. And I want to touch on preview a little bit of our high school sports schedule. Maybe touch on that a little bit.
Fantastic.
All that coming up for you right here on Playmakers. We speak sport.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc., for the hero in you.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Dottie B, host of Weekend Wake Up. Join me each Sunday morning during the 10 o'clock hour as I bring you the Gospel Country Music Hour, where we'll hear a blend of the classic gospel you know and love and some new artists along the way. Join us each Sunday morning on 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, warm and muggy tonight with showers and storms possible late and lows in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend, scattered showers and thunderstorms, staying humid with high temperatures in the low to mid 80s. It's 88 right now.
Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here at 105.5 WIRI. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Phone lines are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. You can call up and text us through the Civic Media app as well. Looking forward to hearing from you and looking forward to talking about our schedule, what's coming up this weekend, and, of course, what's around the corner for us in high school sports.
Ooh.
Get into a little of that and some more. We got plenty more to talk about. I want to talk rafters as we get into our schedule and everything. But speaking of schedules, Shami just reported the NBA Christmas Day lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. So it's going to be on ABC and ESPN. The Cavs and Knicks, the Spurs and Thunder, the Rockets and Lakers, the Mavericks and Warriors, and the Timberwolves and Nuggets.
Wow. Full slate.
Big time. You know, there used to be three games on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
But with the NFL looking to take it over and take Christmas and everything, there's the real war on Christmas. It's the NFL and NBA.
The NBA, I guess you know. Yeah.
It's really going to be interesting to see not only where it goes, but how long the NBA tries to stay in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I admire what David Stern and that they're doing.
Yep.
They could have done what everybody else does when football comes to their town The MAC and some of these organizations, and understandably so, moved playing football on Tuesdays and things like that just to try to get 10 people to watch.
Right.
And I'm one of them. I love MAC football.
Yeah, right.
With the NBA, something else I really love, it's cool to see them fighting back on this.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that you're just prolonging the inevitable. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case, and it'll go back to three or whatever. But I do admire what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I am very curious when we see the ratings of these things afterwards. It's not to me how many numbers, and the NFL games beat the NBA games on Christmas Day or whatever. That's obvious.
Right.
We can all write that headline.
Right.
Look at the numbers year to year. Look at how it dwindles. Look at how as NFL goes more and more into streaming, and more into those network, into those hard-to-find apps and those things,
right.
How it's bringing those numbers down little by little. Death of a thousand cuts.
Mm.
You are not going to... Rome did not fall in a day.
Right.
It did not happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this like I want it to happen. I'm saying it like a warning.
Yeah.
I don't want this to happen necessarily.
Right.
I like the NFL. Mm-hmm. I like what's going on with the NFL over the last 20-some years in many, many ways. More right than wrong, I think. Mm-hmm. They have proven that by becoming the biggest dog in town.
Right, right.
But again, what goes up must come down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see the NFL go down. I don't want to see not. I don't mind it going down in some ratings and ways. Mm-hmm. And because people, what was once new is old and all that.
Of course.
But it's not even them doing it because the product is getting bad, which, by the way, is a whole other topic. Get rid of the preseason. Get rid of it. That's what the first month of the season is anyway.
Yeah.
I will tell you what every single announcer is going to tell you in the first couple of weeks of the season. Well, these guys got to get used to things. Well, they got to get in the swing of things and all that. Well, what do you got preseason for?
Oh, wait. They don't play. They don't play those preseason games. Well, then what's the point?
And if you want to argue about position battles, which I completely understand and agree with in many ways and everything, mm-hmm. Then what are we paying these coaches for? Figure it out. Figure it out in training camp. Figure it out. Get it figured out, because the preseason games are doing nothing but giving these organizations more money. They're not really doing it.
Yeah, it's been such a weird thing coming back to football after so many years. Mm-hmm. Being away from it and not really paying any attention. And in the last couple of years, paying attention more, just for various reasons. But it seems more and more that no one knows what they're doing, that they got lucky. Okay, so maybe Andy Reid is a really great coach, and I think he is. I think he's a really great coach, but he's also an older coach. He's been around for a really long time.
Yep.
And when you have a weapon like Patrick Mahomes, you do what you can with him, and they've been very successful. There's no questioning that. But the rest of these guys, the Eagles are a great example. Who had them at any point in the season winning the Super Bowl until maybe the last couple of weeks of the season, when it was very obvious that they were dominating teams with their defense and the fact that they never threw the ball? They had Saquon Barkley, all these things. But I'm not going to say Nick Sirianni is a great coach.
No. No.
I'm not going to say that.
I cannot get myself to say that.
And he's won, he's been to a couple Super Bowls, and now it's like,
I'm on the ground. I'm choking. Nick Sirianni comes over, gives me CPR, literally saves my life. The first thing I'm saying when I see him is, thank you. I don't believe you as a head coach. It's the first thing. I'm a jerk, and I admit it. But,
The good coaches don't seem to be good.
No.
We're smart. You got Shanahan, who's like the crazy genius, all these plays, but then half the time it looks like he's trying not to lose.
Oh,
he's not playing to win, and he's supposed to be like one of the good ones. I don't get it.
Yeah, he is maybe the best example of coaching yips. Just losing that Super Bowl, being the offensive coordinator of that team is almost worse than being the defensive coordinator for the Falcons when they lost that Super Bowl.
Right.
It's odd to look at it that way, but it's kind of how we do.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tom Brady and the Patriots. Defensively, we never thought they were going to be in that game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they shut them down for a first half was pretty good. Now, offense, just keep scoring. Keep getting, not even that, just keep getting first downs. So the fact that he was the captain of the ship on that,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that he ever gets over that. I think as somebody who loves storylines and everything, I think it'd be cool if he did go on to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But to what you're talking about here. Regular season, mastermind. Oh, look at how he uses this Debo and uses this player in some of those things. And okay, that's cool.
Sure.
How come his hand is empty? He's got a wedding ring and that's it. There are no Super Bowl rings on that hand.
Yeah, right.
It's hard to get it. It's hard to judge any coaches. What's happening right now with Green Bay is going to be fascinating to me.
Mm.
Matt LaFleur got this job as a young coach, no head coaching experience.
Right, right.
He inherits a literal Hall of Fame quarterback, a guy that gets in the discussion of greatest of all time.
Right.
And at a point when he's pretty much at his prime still, if not still
very close, close.
And certainly when he plays for you, he gives you his prime, as we see Aaron Rodgers make this gigantic comeback and win MVP and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Now with him gone, and you give him that wiggle room of, well, he's got a young quarterback, and you got to figure this out. And since then, all I've heard is excuses from Matt LaFleur. That's all I've heard. I don't hear him taking any shots, really. Some, sure, and I'm talking about the masses. I'm not talking about our friends at the bar and things like that.
Right.
When it comes to him and out of this year, it's Super Bowl or bust. And I don't mean winning it. I mean making a gigantic run, not just getting to the NFC Championship game like they have done three or four times coaching career already. He's got to get to he's got to get over the hump.
Yeah.
He's got to. I'm not saying he has to win the Super Bowl, but and I'm not saying either that he's going to lose his job if he doesn't do this.
Right, man.
But if everything goes this sideways on this.
Can't
convince me that his seat isn't the hottest seat in all of football.
It's got to be one of them. It really does. I mean, you can lift a few of them, like Miami and a few other places that if things don't go well, they're gone. We pretty much have that set. But, man, it's just that's the weird thing about it, though. Since Bill Belichick left, since he retired, and Andy Reid is like the last of the old school coaches, and his record speaks for itself. Where's everyone else? I guess I really don't know.
It's a shame. And
yeah,
I think part of it is that they've again taken the personality out of these guys. They got to take HR or not HR, but promotion classes and everything when that's the last thing a coach cares about. We're lucky these guys dress themselves. I'm not even exaggerating.
You're right.
We're lucky that every NFL, especially our football coach,
we'll
go from high school on up, that these people, when we see them, they're dressed. They're shaved half the time. All they eat, sleep, and breathe is football.
Hey, but they got to bring back the suit and tie rule for head coaches. Yeah. I think they need to do that. Bring back Tom Landry, man.
I know as a Bear fan and a Bear guy and all that you might assume that I'm a big Ditka guy. I'm not really that big of a Ditka guy.
Right.
But I will say, one thing that he never gets credit for, nobody could wear a sports coat and a sweater like he could, like Ditka.
He looked good. And there was always that same Bear sweater that he always wore.
Yeah.
That's a classic sweater. I love that sweater.
I would love that sweater. I want to go to some great reporting being done, not necessarily by the Mouse or the Fox, but by our own Michael Comer.
Oh, nice.
Michael was sent me this last night while I was teaching. USA Today has the Packers versus the Ravens in the Super Bowl. That is their prediction.
Wow.
They got Baltimore winning it.
Okay.
Michael disagrees a little bit with that. He'd like a recount. But but I thought that was – this all leads to my point about Matt LaFleur.
Now that they're putting – if people are starting to say that out loud, then you better believe it's going to put pressure on him.
And I want to be real clear. I'm not saying this year that this is pressure is there or that he gets to an NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl and it'll be there next year if he doesn't win those games. But anything short of that this year, next year, and the moment the season ends, the moment the clock ticks down to zero, the seat is in fuego, on fire for him. And it should be. And I would think if I'm Matt LaFleur, bring it. I want that.
Yeah.
I might need that to get me over the hump whatever.
For sure. He's not a bad coach. I don't think so at all.
No.
You're right, though. He's got to take that next step, that next level.
I think, and part of that is something that he's kind of shown us a little bit in this offseason, and being willing to not be everybody's best friend. And you know what? Sometimes dad's got to be the jerk. Sometimes we don't like it. We don't want to do it. But sometimes that's what it is to be the dad. That's what it is to be the head coach. That's why you get paid that money.
What's in the best interest of the player and the team? Yeah, that sometimes it's not to be their friend. You're right.
Seeing that is a good sign.
to me. Now, I, what that means, we'll find out together, everybody. I mean, it's going to be a fun season, I believe. There's a couple of interesting storylines already happening in training camp, let alone we haven't even gotten going.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of good stories of the show I want to touch on before we go to break, and we'll come back and talk some a little bit of our schedule, both current and future.
In the year 2000. In the year 2000.
This is a great one. The first career save for Nick Engelwright was a particularly meaningful one. Engelwright, who was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma back in 2022 and is scheduled to complete his treatment later this year, allowed an unearned run in the 10th inning last Monday night to close out the Cleveland Guardians' 7-6 win over the Mets.
Nice.
Winning a save while battling cancer.
Congratulations to you, young man.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow.
Man, that story of the year, like, kind of stuff.
Well, if
man,
anyone who knows awesome. Anyone who's had treatment for cancer, what it does to your body, that's impressive.
Yeah, my wonderful, one of the definitions of a Spitfire, my Aunt Deb is currently going through this. Mm-hmm. And she actually has a test today going on, and I'm thinking of you, Aunt, and I hope she's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive. Beyond impressive. Yep. There's no words for it. It's really well done. Nice job, Ian, kid. Nice job.
Yeah.
That's a really cool moment.
Awesome.
And by now, many of you might have heard, Jen Powell is set to become the first woman to umpire a Major League Baseball game tomorrow. She'll be umpiring the Marlins in Braves game.
Oh, wow. I had not heard that. Yes. All right. I'm excited.
My mother is in the back of my head telling me the real headline will be one day when this is just normal and we don't really look at it like
right.
that. But we can only do with what we can with today.
Yeah.
And today, let's celebrate this. It's cool.
Let's celebrate her for being there. Yes, let's do it.
I understand some people have been a little worrisome about, well, what happens when they get into a fight? What happens when, you know, a player doesn't like a call and they want to challenge them or something? Guess what? Everybody will figure it out.
Yes.
They'll figure it out.
My guess is they'll probably be thrown out of the game like other umpires do.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they do.
To those people worrying about this, you do realize that the reason we've survived as a race, as a people, is because of women and how strong they are. If the first woman gives birth and tells every one of them else, like, this ain't worth it. Don't do this.
Yeah,
this is wrong.
We're sunk.
We're done. Like, tell me the idea.
Humanity
that
doesn't arise.
I worry more about men in strength than I will ever worry about a woman in strength. Ever.
Absolutely.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back into the schedule coming up on Playmakers here. Almost did it. Was it a full swing?
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, warm and muggy tonight with showers and storms possible late and lows in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend, scattered showers and thunderstorms, staying humid with high temperatures in the low to mid 80s. It's 88 right now.
Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody, here at 105.5 WIRAP, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried.
Sounds pretty good on a Friday night, actually.
Friday night. Pretty good.
Sounds pretty good. Seth and James here to wrap up this show for the week. Thank you so much for joining us. Best listeners in radio out mm-hmm. there. We appreciate you. Taking a look at our schedule for the next couple of weeks. Well, it's a Pam schedule. As we got two games of Rafter baseball left this season. One of them tonight, 6:20. Rafters in Wausau to take on the Woodchucks.
Mm-hmm.
Wishing them well on that one. Like to see them end the season on a high note with a couple of wins here, especially against our rival.
Yes.
6:20 start time we'll have for you on 97.5 FM WFHR. And then tomorrow, the final game of the season, 2:50 in Wausau.
Yes.
Just quickly before we touch on the preview of the next schedule, for next week, nothing but Playmakers. We'll be here
no
all
other
week
sports?
Long.
That's rare. That's very rare here.
We'll figure out something to talk about. but we will be getting more and more information about River Kings and seasons and season, and looking forward to that. And we'll be having a coach the fourth period with Coach and GM, Coach Paul Peckman, with us as well. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
But I do want to thank the Rafters organization. I do want to thank the Rafters front office, the coaching staff, and the players, and certainly just as importantly, the host families that kept these players in town.
100%.
Everybody understands by now that the season didn't go the way we wanted it to and all that.
No, it was a rough one.
But it wasn't rough economically.
No.
It wasn't like that. As far as that goes, there's nobody, I can tell you this, very few, if anybody, pulled in the gate that the Rafters did, because the Rafters are the only team that own those grounds, that own that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big, big thank you to this community and everybody that traveled to this community to see these games. We want to win a championship. Yeah, we would like to see them a lot more competitive next year. The leash is a little shorter probably next year for coach and the staff. But I hope they bring everybody back, front office and coaching staff.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to next season already.
Yep. And I want to give a big, big shout out to play-by-play man Austin. I'm sure he would have liked to have done a better season as well, but man, did he do a fantastic job. Nothing like his growth over the whole season was fun to listen to. I just, one of the great things that we do here with the Rafters is bringing those young guys in to do play-by-play for a whole season. Man, what training is that for them? It's amazing.
It's one of my favorite things every season, hearing those guys grow.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun, and we appreciate a great season from Rafter baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Go to northwoodsleague.com to keep up to date on things there, and of course keep it right here, because as I've talked with Jake and everything, we're planning on him joining us again for more Meet Your Rafters during the winter, fall and winter and everything. We'll keep up to date on signings and some of that stuff.
Yep.
Like we always do. 16 years and going.
Going strong.
We've been doing this with them, and we're looking forward to another one.
Yep.
Michael, our sports director here at the studios, put together a bit of a sports list preview of what's up and coming for on our broadcast dial, and it looks like our first game of the high school sports season is going to be in football, Sarin versus Port Edwards at Wisconsin Rapids, August 21st, Thursday, August 21st.
Yes. So, like, less than 2 weeks away.
It's incredible. That's incredible. We've got some games. Markson against Assumption the very next day, and then very next week, Rice Lake at Raiders, 7 o'clock start time for
Rapids. Yep.
So we're going to be getting as many of these games covered as we can, everybody, and not just football, but covering multiple sports for you. As we're looking forward to doing
some new things. Got some boys soccer on the schedule. Got some volleyball on the schedule. Very excited to bring you those as well.
There is nobody doing sports the way we are here. Whether it is our team
people covering the sport and writing on it, whether it's Jimmy Costco or Michael himself or anybody like that at Civic Media. On a studio level with IRI and FHR, what we do with FHR and the Badger coverage we're able to bring you, the Rafters and all of that, River Kings and high school sports on right here at WIRI and everything. I'm not saying this like I'm bragging. This is science, everybody. You can look this up. We can back up all of this. This isn't opinions or anything. This is what we do around here. With all that said, we know we can do it better, and we do it for you. This isn't for us. We wouldn't have to turn the mics on then.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Do you think I mess up names for my own amusement? Do you think I like making a fool of myself? No, it's my job. But we do this for you. So if you have news and notes for us, if you have ideas, if you are reporting yourself on stuff, of course, we would double check and triple check anything you do. But we want to hear from you, whether it's you want to add to the newsletter and maybe article writing or something like that, freelance, or maybe you think of sports we should be covering or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here.
Let us know.
We always want to hear from you guys. We respect Sage and Chuck and so many of our real managers out there, you guys are always going to be our boss.
Yep.
You guys are always going to be in charge.
So remember, email info@wiri.fm.
Looking forward to it. And looking forward to seeing how these last two games for the Rafters wrap up for the season.
Maybe they can do it on a good note. That'd be nice.
Taking a look at the MLB standings right now, you've got in the NL East, Philly ahead of the Mets by a couple of games. And of
when
course.
Did that happen?
Thank you.
The Mets were like riding high. I totally missed that.
Dodgers only two up on the Padres. That's going to be so fascinating.
That's going to be a great. I hope that's going to be a good end of the season with them.
Cubs have been slipping 5-5 in the last couple of games, last 10 games, and four games back now as they went into the All-Star game, in good position.
The Brewers catching fire,
And that momentum has somehow stuck with them.
Yeah.
I don't know how this happened, but the Blue Jays are in first in the AL East.
Finally.
And not just by 6.5 games over New York and four over the Red Sox, who also surprised me there.
Wow.
I didn't see
the Red Sox. It's been such a bad, unfortunate season for Baltimore. I'm so sad about that.
Tigers running away with it, and it looks like Seattle and Houston are going to be in a race towards the end. A great show today, man.
You too.
Have a great night, everybody.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Friday evening. Couldn't be happier because it's a Friday evening, am I right? Let's kick things off for the weekend, if you may, with Brooks and Dunn.
I was raised off of Route 3, out past where the blacktop ends. Walk to church on Sunday morning, race barefoot back to Johnson's Fence. That's where I first saw Mary, on that roadside picking blackberries. That summer I turned